Lord, this morning, good to see each and every one that's gathered in. We welcome you in the Saviour's name. We pray that the Lord will bless us as we're found in his house this morning. And to those online as well, we welcome you. We pray that the Lord will bless you as you're tuning in with us, even via the online means. Let me just remind you of the announcements for today and for the incoming week. We do remind you of the afternoon drive-in meeting this afternoon at 3:30 there in the church car park. We do invite and encourage you to come back again this afternoon. Make that effort. I know it's a quick turnaround, but do your best to be back even with us. And do remind others, your neighbours and your friends and family, to come and to be with us as well. We're praying that the Lord will bless us as we go into the open air this afternoon to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then on Wednesday evening, at 8 p.m., we meet here in the church once again to study God's Word and to come around the throne of grace in prayer. And we invite all of God's children, young and old alike, to come aside on Wednesday evenings and spend this time together around the things of the Lord. Can we mention then to God's people here that have been praying recently for the Dubois family that Stephen's funeral will be this Friday coming. We mentioned on Wednesday night there had been no word of getting Stephen's body home, but just on Thursday then they got contacted to say that he was being flown home, and he's now home, and we're thankful for that, and do remember the family this Friday as that funeral will be taking place in Ballyclare. Appreciate your prayers as well as we'll be taking part in that funeral service. For the members of Session, we remind you that Presbytery is on this Friday coming. It's in our Armagh congregation, in our Armagh church, at 8 p.m. for members of the Session. Then for the young people, there is a youth rally this Saturday night coming in our Omagh congregation, and you're all invited and encouraged to go along to that youth rally on Saturday evening. The Reverend Stephen Nilsson, the minister of our Resharkin congregation, will be preaching at that youth rally. The service is next Sunday at the normal times of 11:30 and 7 p.m. Remember, of course, the seasons of prayer before both services, and I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct those meetings. We remind you again of the list in the front porch. We're thankful for those that have already signed up. There's a list for the ladies going forward for catering purposes to cover the ladies' fellowship meetings. There's one more, as we mentioned, planned for the month of September. And then next year there will be four, God willing. And so, ladies, if you'd like to be part of that catering team on a rota basis, just providing a light supper, then please sign up today. And we do need more people to sign up for the Let the Bible Speak recordings. They're on the month of September, Thursday, the 15th of September, if my memory serves me correctly. And we're thankful for those that have already signed up, but we do need more to come and to be part of those congregations for the recording purposes. So if you can sign up today, whether it be for one, two, or all three of the sessions, then please do put your name down at some stage today. We need to get those numbers then forwarded to the Let the Bible Speak committee. Can we thank all that helped in any way the last week with the Holiday Bible Club? We really do appreciate and value all of the help that was given, and we're thankful to the Lord for safety each and every night for all that travelled to and from those meetings. We're thankful to the Lord for his presence, for his help, and for every child that was gathered out. And we encourage you to continue to remember those children in your prayers, that the Lord will speak to them, the Lord will bless them even and bring them unto himself. Members of committee and session, Tuesday the 13th of September, we plan to have a committee and session meeting. And brethren, if you could check your diary with that date, if there's any issues, then come back to me. But Tuesday, the 13th of September. We're going to now turn to our hymn books. We're turning to the Psalm section, Psalm 103. Psalm 103, the page is 94. We'll sing the opening seven verses of the psalm together. Psalm 103, O thou my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is. Psalm 103. The verse 1 down to the end of verse 7, please. Amen. Let's still ourselves in God's presence. Seek the Lord together. Eternal and loving, gracious Father in heaven, we bow before thee. In and through the precious and the all-prevailing name of Jesus, we thank thee for our loving Saviour. We thank thee for thy only begotten Son, the one who came, the one who died, the one who rose again, the one who lives forevermore. We thank thee, O God, this day, that we have the acceptance to approach thee. O God, it's nothing of ourselves, it is all of Christ. We present ourselves before thee, pleading his merits of his blood, pleading his precious name. And Father, we come to thee, acknowledging that we are nothing more and nothing less than sinners saved by grace. But we thank thee for that grace. We thank thee, O God, for the grace of God. Lord, that grace that saved us, that grace that keeps us, that grace that sanctifies us, that grace that promises us a home in heaven with thee. And Father, we bow before thee and we come, O God, with that desire to worship and to praise our God in heaven, to worship in our Savior, to glory in the cross and the finished work that was accomplished there upon it. We bow before thee, and Lord, we gather in this house to come to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, remember us for good, how much we need thee, how much we have needed thee in this past week, and how much we are thankful, O God, for thy hand of mercy upon us, for help that's been given each and every day, for thy presence with us, for that enablement to be serving thee. We thank and praise thee, O God, for every child that was here. We thank thee, O God, for every little one, and even parents as well that came, and Lord, heard the gospel of saving grace. And Father, we pray for their souls. We pray, O God, that thou wilt soften their hearts, that thou wilt turn them from their sins, that thou wilt, O God, enable them to come unto thee, to repent of their sins and to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, speak on to those little ones, from the youngest right to the oldest. O God, may they realize their need of salvation, whether it be through the memory verses that they learn, whether it be through the life of Corrie Ten Boom. Lord, we pray thee that thou wilt speak, that thou wilt strive, and O God, that thou wilt draw them unto thyself. Lord, remember us now in this meeting. We're thankful, O God, for each one that is here. We're thankful for answered prayer in this last week. We're thankful for thy hand of mercy upon each and every one. Thou hast watched over our going outs and our coming ins. Thou art the one, O God, who never slumbers and who never sleeps. Thou art the one whose eye is upon the righteous, whose ear is open unto their cry. And we thank thee for watching over, for being that good shepherd even unto thy children and unto thy flock once again. Lord, remember us this day. Bless us this morning. Bless us the afternoon time, even as we go into the open air. Father, we pray for souls. We pray for a stirring, even in this area, for a working in hearts, for, O God, men and women to be gathered here, even those maybe that are just simply driving past, for them to stop, to turn, to come in, O God, and to come under the sound of thy word. We think of homes round about us. Lord, we're mindful of those. We pray, O God, that thou wilt work. No, Father, that men and women will not simply shut windows and, Lord, turn TVs up louder, but rather that they will open their windows, yea, even come out and listen to what is being said. And, Father, do a wonderful work even in our midst, we pray thee. Lord, remember every family that is represented. We're thinking, O God, of those that are mourning in these days. Remember them. We think of those that will lay loved ones to rest even tomorrow. Be near to them. Comfort, sustain them. We think as well of the Dubois family. And on Friday, Lord, we pray for thy grace to be given to them. We thank thee for undertaking thus far. Lord, for every detail that thou hast perfected. Lord, we pray for grace to be given to them, for help and for strength. Lord, remember the going forth of thy word. May it find that resting place, even in mourning hearts, even in broken hearts. Lord, may they realize that there is comfort, yea, there is joy to be found in Jesus Christ. Lord, remember all of the work of this church. Remember all of our families. Remember those that are sick in these days. We thank thee for answered prayer thus far. We pray, O God, for a strengthening of body to complete healing. Lord, be near to them. We're mindful as well of the elderly. We pray, O God, for those that can't be with us. We pray that thou wilt be near to them. We're thankful, O God, for the health that thou hast given to many to continue to fellowship with us. And we pray for thy hand even to be upon them in the days to come. Lord, for every family, remember our young people. Lord, we thank thee for bringing young people through exams even this last year. Lord, for blessing them, for helping them. And Lord, even in their next steps of life, we pray that thou wilt just be near to them. Lord, continue to lead them, to guide them, to show them this is the way, walk ye in it. And Father, be near and bless each one. Lord, who have we to turn to but thee? We desire no other. We look for no other. Lord, thou art the one we come before. Thou art the one that we trust. Thou art the one that we love. Father, accept of our worship and our praise this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 263. 263. A wonderful hymn by Charles Wesley. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's name? This is a hymn that needs all of your lungs. I wanted to sing this hymn many times whenever you were all wearing masks, and I thought that wouldn't be fair, because if you've the masks on, then you couldn't sing this as it needs to be sang. Wonderful hymn, and let's stand together and sing it on to the Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. Now you can see why I didn't pick it whenever he's had to wear the masks. Everybody, your lungs are needed. But it's a wonderful hymn to praise the Lord with. Psalm 149, we're coming to the penultimate psalm in the book of Psalms this morning. Psalm 149. Psalm 149, the verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, the two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor hath all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts this morning. We're going to sing one more hymn together before we come to the preaching of God's word. 265, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned and unclean. Let's remain seated for the opening four verses, and then we'll stand for verse number 5, please.
my Savior's love to me.
Let's stand together. Turning now to the book of Ruth once again. The book of Ruth in the chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3, we'll break in at the verse 8. Word of God says, it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. He said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am thy near kinsman, albeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning. She arose up before one could know another. And he said, Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Amen. We pray that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning. I want to entitle the message very simply, Responding to a Marriage Proposal. Responding to a marriage proposal. You might think, well, we're going to have a very short sermon because the response is usually a yes or a no. Well, God willing, we'll see more than just a yes or a no this morning. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. Lord, even with the hymn that we've just sang together, truly we do stand amazed in the presence of Jesus. We wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned and unclean. We thank thee and praise thee for the gospel. We rejoice, O God, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We thank thee for the love of God. We thank thee for the mercy and the grace of God even towards guilty, hell-deserving sinners. We thank thee that's the message that we have to proclaim today. That's what we cling to. That's what we hope in. That's what we love. That's what we cherish. And Father, that's what we preach. Give us help even now to preach Christ and him crucified. Give us help, O God, to turn the minds and the hearts of each one by thy Spirit. O God, do it this day to turn them to Christ. Not simply to think upon a man's words, but, O God, to look upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. Hear and answer prayer. Fill us with thy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Without a doubt, weddings are unique events. It's a time of excitement, a time of busyness, running around, getting everything done to the deadline, getting everything organized, planned, booked, sorted. It can be a time of nerves as well. Stories told of a prominent family in San Francisco, and everything was in place, everything was booked and sorted. This was a high functioning family within the city, and so they booked the biggest church and they had the greatest caterers, and everything was in place, everything was ready to go. Came to the day of the wedding, and the lady, the bride, as she was at the front, was asked the question by the officiant, "Do you take this man to be your husband?" And there was silence. And then she answered, "I don't know." And the officiant had to look at her a moment. He says, "Right, well, the wedding's off then." And everything was cancelled. Everybody was sent home. All of the food was given to charity. A week later, she came back to the officiant and she says, "I was nervous last week. I know what the answer is now. Yes, I'll marry him." And so it was all back on again. I would hate to have been her parent, paying for two receptions and two orders of everything. No, even marriage proposals can be big events. No longer is it simply the man getting down on bended knee and asking the question. Now there can be much money, much effort put into displays, everything planned, a whole day out indeed, with everything in place and all taken here, there, everywhere, all of these different plans in place and money spent, dinners, and I've noticed even there's some take their bride-to-be, their girlfriend up in planes and have it all in fields below. "Will you marry me?" And then she's told to look out the window at a certain time. So much money. They're all massive events. Eventually it just comes down to the question, doesn't it? Will you marry me? In reality, the man's only looking one answer and one word answer, and he's looking the word yes. Ruth chapter 3, you have the proposal for marriage. To us, of course, yes, there is much that is unusual. There's much that is different about this marriage proposal. After all, it's not the man asking the woman, it's the woman asking the man. It's Ruth who puts the question to Boaz, and she puts it in those words, "Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." In other words, will you take me under your care? Will you take me to be with you? Will you take me to be your wife? You look at the verses which follow. It's clear his response isn't a simple yes or no. But his response is certainly noteworthy. His response is certainly something to consider, to spend time upon. You think of it, this man has just been woken up. This man has been startled greatly. He woke up to find a woman lying at his feet. She wasn't there when he had went to sleep, but when he woke up, she was lying at his feet. This caused him great concern. Who was this? Why was she there? And he's also just been proposed to. Yet the words which he speaks are worth our consideration and time all of these thousands of years later. Three things I want to leave with you this morning in relation to this response. When you see, firstly, the verses 10 and 11, the commendation of the lady. The commendation of the lady. Boaz, he says, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning." And then the verse 11, he says, "For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." What wonderful words are these which Boaz speaks to Ruth, of Ruth. Boaz highlights her growth. In the verse 10, he says those words, "Thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning." In other words, thou art better, thou art greater, thou hast prospered, thou hast moved on from where you were. He's speaking primarily here of Ruth's love and kindness towards her late husband, Mahlon. Her love and kindness towards Mahlon is actually greater now after he is deceased than what it was when he was alive. She is going further now than she ever gone before. Now she is seeking to keep his name alive. Now she is seeking a kinsman redeemer. Now she has come to Boaz with that desire. Boaz, I need you. I want you to be my husband. I love you. But why? Because together we must raise up a name for Mahlon. Together we must keep his name alive. Together there must be a prosperity from me for Mahlon. You can see something of that indeed in the last statement of her proposal at the end of verse 9. She says, thou art a near kinsman. She is desirous to keep Mahlon's name alive. She's not looking to, she's not going to any other man just because she maybe fancies him or thinks he's good looking or thinks he's rich and thinks everything will be comfortable. She is looking to Boaz. Why? He's a near kinsman. Mahlon is still in view. And Boaz commends her for it. See, it's undeniable the change that there is in Ruth. You cast your mind back, you think who Ruth was in Moab. In those early years of marriage, Mahlon Chilion, along with the parents, had moved to Moab. She had got married to Mahlon, and how much had changed. She had come into that family. She was a woman of Moab. She was a woman of sin. And you think of where she was at the beginning of her marriage to Mahlon to where she is now. Now everything is different. Now you can trace the difference. The difference began with her repentance. It began when she turned away from the sinful life, from the world of Moab. She turned away from the false gods, and she turned to the one true living God. That time there in the street, as she was walking with Naomi, and she said, your people's now my people, your God's now my God. She turns her back on everything before, and now she's turning to the one true God. Repentance and faith. But that's not where it ended. Then her faith grew. Then her understanding of God grew. She understood more of who God was. She understood more of God's law. She understood more of that which God had given to the Israelite people to follow, to obey, to lead them in their lives. And because of her understanding of who God was, because of her understanding of what God said, because of her understanding of God's rules and God's law, do you know what else grew? Her kindness. She was a kinder woman now than she had ever been before. And we can see more and more the outworking of her faith. All that she did in those fields, why? To provide for a mother-in-law. The work ethic that she had, she was the first there. She was the first up after lunch. She was the last to leave in the evening. She was there day after day after day. She never turned away. She was never idle. She did that which she could every single day. More and more good works. How true it is, we're not saved by good works, but we are saved unto good works. That's what Ephesians 2, the verse 10 teaches us. We often think Ephesians 2, yet we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. Gift of God, lest any man should boast. But then verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. And so whenever you're saved, whenever you become a Christian, when you turn from your sin and you put your faith and trust in Christ, that's not where it ends. That's the beginning. And from there ought to be the working of good works. There ought to be the outworking of your faith in Christ. What growth there was in Ruth, what progress. How important it is that every child of God grows. How important it is that everyone who states, I am a Christian, I turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, I trust in him for my salvation. How important it is there's growth. How important it is that you can say, I am growing in grace. and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. How important it even with those words of Peter. Peter told his people, even as he finished his second epistle, grow in grace. So those were the words he signed off with. Tell me this morning, are you growing? You're saved here this morning. Can you say you've grown this last year? Can you say you've grown spiritually? Can you say your knowledge has grown? Can you say your depth of understanding has grown? Can you say today, I know more about God than I did at the start of the year? I know more about His Word than I did at the start of the year? Can you say, I've studied more, I've learned more, I understand more? Are you going forward? Is your prayer life going forward? Is your physical attendance at the meetings improving or decreasing? Can you say, I am now often at the meetings. I'm there every week, every single time I can be. I am there in the pew. I am listening. I am studying. I am praying. I am part of the fellowship. I am involving myself. I'm getting into the work. I have a greater desire than ever before, a greater love than ever before. Are you going forward? Are you closer to Him than ever before? Is your heart greater for the Lord than ever before? Do you love Him now more than you did at the start of the year? Does your heart burn now more to be in God's house and to be in God's Word than ever before? This isn't something to ignore or to gloss over. This is important. Individually, child of God, this is vital. If you're not growing, you're not going forward, it's sin. Sin. God demands and God looks for and God expects His children to be growing in grace. He expects a greater heart. He expects a greater love. He expects a greater desire. Yes, the physical body may change. The physical attributes may change in terms of what you can do for Him. But tell me, the heart should never change and go down or grow worse. The heart should grow. If you're growing today, praise the Lord. I'm not talking about pride. I'm talking about meekness and honesty before God. If you can say with an honest heart and a humble heart before the Lord, Lord, thank you. I can say I have grown this last year. I know more about you. I know more about your word. Praise the Lord for what is done in me. If you're not growing, why not? Why not? What's happened? What's changed? What caused you to stop? What caused you to go backwards? What caused you to put the prayer meeting to the bottom of the pile? What caused you to put the Sunday night to the bottom of the pile? What caused you to say, no longer do I need to go, no longer do I need to be there? What caused you to say, no longer do I need to read my Bible? What caused you to say, no longer do I need to pray? You need to be going forward. Ruth was growing in grace and in faith. I find this interesting. It wasn't simply Boaz saying this because he loved her. It wasn't Boaz saying this because Ruth had proposed to him. This wasn't just Boaz. Everyone could see the difference.
That's what he says in the verse 11. He says, the whole city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. In other words, you come into this city, you've come into Bethlehem, and your time in this city, every single person sees who you are. Every single person knew you were from Moab, but yet every single person has come to the conclusion, you're a virtuous woman. What he saw, everyone else saw. What he said, everyone else said. Oh, the testimony of a Christian. Didn't matter that Ruth had only been there a few months. In those few months that she was there, everyone saw her for who she was. Her character stood out. The difference from all of the other people of Moab stood out. They knew who Moab was. They knew what the people of Moab were like. And yet here was a girl. Here was a handmaid from Moab. And she had come into Bethlehem. And she had showed herself to be one who knew the Lord, loved the Lord, and was growing in the Lord. And her kindness stood out a mile. Didn't matter if there was an individual who was bitter towards Moab because of a past aggression or something. Not one person could point a finger at her and say, you are not good. Everyone knew she loved the Lord. Everyone knew she followed the Lord and obeyed the Lord. What a commendation of this lady. Is it a commendation we can give to each child of God here? Can we say that each one is growing in grace and in knowledge of Christ? Oh, I trust and pray that it be the case. That each one before the Lord can honestly say, Lord, I'm further along, nearer to you than ever before. The commendation of the lady. Secondly, the verse 11, the commitment of the Lord. The commitment of the Lord. He says, now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. This was a great promise. This was a great undertaking by Boaz. Boaz, in his response, is promising to fulfill all that is needed. He promises to love her. He promises to care for her. He promises to take her unto himself. He promises to redeem her in all that is hers. He promises to be her husband, to raise up that seed. He takes this responsibility and commitment seriously. After all, marriage must always be a serious commitment. Always remember that. Young people, let me remind you of that even going forward. There may be come a time when you're entering into a relationship and it's heading for marriage. Marriage is a serious commitment. Marriage is something that you do not enter into lightly. Marriage is something that you pray over, that you seek the Lord's blessing and guidance upon, that you're with the one that the Lord has for you. It's not something to give up on either. Husbands, when you take a wife, you vow before God to love her, honor, and care for her all of her days. It's because 10 or 20 years past does not mean your love should fade. The devotion, the love towards your wife should be as strong today as it was the day that you said, I do. This is a complete promise that Boaz gives to Ruth. Nothing left or forgotten. When Boaz speaks to her, there's nothing that leaves her wondering or questioning, well, will this part be done or will this part be done? Boaz gives her a complete promise. It is a complete and a full commitment. Because he states, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Isn't that a wonderful picture of Christ and his promise to his bride? You think of the Lord Jesus Christ, his dealings, his words toward his bride, his church, his love, his first of all, is eternal. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. His devotion is eternal. Lord entered into that marriage, that agreement with us. He promises what? I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. His undertaking for our future is unchangeable. Philippians 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, we as God's people can, and we'll say with the words of Mark 7, verse 37, he hath done all things well. See, the Lord's commitment towards his people, here's the joy that every Christian has. The Lord's promise towards us is unwavering. The Lord's promise towards us is unchangeable. He loves us eternally. He cares for us eternally. He desires us eternally. And he will fulfill every single part and every single need we have. Not one thing that we need as a child of God will we ever lack. Not one thing that is ever there can ever be taken against us and said, no, that has not been fulfilled. Jesus Christ fulfills it all. Jesus Christ's commitment to his church, to his bride, is complete, is total. You'll never find anything lacking when you're a child of God. You'll never find anything lacking as a bride of Christ. What a commitment Jesus Christ has had and does have for his church. Boaz could say those words to Ruth. He says, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. That was then in the present and the future. He promises it all. Nothing lacking. Nothing missing. Every need complete. What comfort and security that ought to give us as God's children. Each one that is in Christ this morning, to have that security. The Lord, as it were, using the words of Ruth towards Boaz, the Lord has spread his skirt over us. The Lord has taken us even unto himself as the hen gathers the chicks unto herself and she keeps them under the wing. That's what Jesus Christ does for his church. He brings them together to him. He brings them and unites them to him, and they can never be separated. Why? Because even using the words of the Apostle Paul, we are sealed into him. The Spirit of God seals us into him. We can never become unstuck. We can never become separated. We are sealed into Christ, that where Christ is, we are. And everything cared for. Commendation of the lady. Commitment of the Lord. But thirdly and finally and quickly, when you see the care of the law, the care of the law. Verse 12. Boaz says, now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee. It's clear Boaz does not hide the problem from Ruth. Yes, Ruth wants to be his wife. He wants Ruth to be his bride. But what about the law? The law had to be kept. The law had to be fulfilled. And Boaz could not and Boaz would not simply ignore the law. And he wouldn't disobey it. And he wouldn't seek to go around it. The law was there. The law was set. The law had to be kept. He's obedient at all points. You know, when you parallel what this passage is showing us with what Christ has done for his bride, Christ didn't simply bypass or change the law in any way to have a bride. The law was there. The law had to be kept. The law had to be obeyed. And the law of God stated, Ezekiel 18 to verse 4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And man, from Adam right onwards, man has sinned. Man has come short of the glory of God. Every single one that has been born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But what about the law? Because the law states, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Christ had to keep the law. So when you consider Christ being the kinsman redeemer, purchasing our redemption, surely it ought to be impressed strongly upon your mind and your part and your heart. God obeyed his own law. God was a lawgiver. God also was a lawkeeper. God's law was set, and God himself was willing to keep his own law to bring himself a bride. Romans 8, the verse 32, it tells us, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. God gave his only begotten son to fulfill the law of God. The lawgiver became the lawkeeper. The law demanded a sacrifice for sin. Penalty had to be paid. God never sought to evade the law. Even the Son of God, and you think of it, we sang about it, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And what did the second verse say? For me it was in the garden. He prayed, not my will, but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but he sweat drops of blood for mine. Christ said, Father, thy will be done. Keep the law. Christ was under the penalty of death for our sin, that the law might be kept. Christ went to the cross. He endured the wrath of God. Even as Abraham stated to his son Isaac upon Mount Moriah, God will provide himself a burnt offering. And that's exactly what God did. So I say to every child of God as we close, never take your salvation lightly. Never simply gloss over it. Never simply take it, yes, Christ saved me. Christ died for me. No, think upon it. The Son of God kept the law. And he fulfilled it for you. Boaz understood the law. Boaz understood the cost of redeeming Ruth. So too did Christ. For Christ gave us all. He gave it for me. If you're saved this morning, he gave it for you. But unsaved, where do you stand? Will you come to Christ? Accept the salvation that he freely offers. Accept the commitment of Jesus Christ as the groom, even towards the bride, that he will fulfill all. He'll cover it all for you. He'll pay it all. He'll give you it all. If you but come. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. We thank thee and praise thee, O God, for the law of God. We praise thee for the one who kept it. He kept it perfectly. He was made under the law. He underwent the miseries of this life. He never sinned. He could not sin. He went to the cross. He took our sin in his own body upon the tree. He died. Died for our sin. Oh, Father, bless thy word to our hearts today. Encourage thy people, O God. Draw us ever closer to thee. May we be in that right relationship, O God, walking with thee, talking with thee, and drawing ever closer even to thy side. Lord, bless us now. Separate us one from the other. Bring us again this afternoon, we pray, for that drive-in meeting. May we know the blessing of God upon it. Bring unsaved in. Work on hearts, I pray thee. In Jesus' name.